Hello and welcome to the Balthazar NFT Gaming Podcast. Today we're going to be doing something a little bit different than the norm. Today we are posting one of our Twitter spaces that we are now weekly going to be having, where we bring on guests from either NFT games or content creators to speak into some of the biggest issues that Web3 gaming faces. This week, Nico and I brought on guests including CryptoStash, one of the leading NFT gaming content creators, John from Splinterlands, the VP of sales, Grant, the executive director at Undead Blocks, and Arif at Mythic Protocol to discuss, is play-to-earn gaming dead?
Awesome. Well, thank you all for being here. These are some high-level guests, so I appreciate you guys all taking the time out of your day. And for those listening, I think this is a very important discussion that we're going to kick off here on Is Play to Earn Dead? So thank you guys for being here. It'll also be uploaded to our podcast platforms later on, so if you have to dip out a little bit early, you can always look to those to hear the full conversation. But I want to kick us off here just setting up a little bit of the conversation and why I brought up this question, is play to earn dead? Because I've seen this narrative shift in the industry of, you know, a year and a half ago, play to earn really boomed. We had the explosion of Axie Infinity, Splinterlands, some of those early games that really took off. People were making, you know, a decent amount of money. Some places where, you know, the living costs were definitely lower. People were playing these games full time, making a living, buying houses. Like, it got pretty crazy. And then obviously over time with the bear market hitting, we've seen that narrative change, whether that's a lot of negative press against Axie Infinity. I just recently saw another news article from ABC News and a video they did. It was interesting to me being at NFT NYC even just a few months ago. Pretty much every new game I was meeting and talking to, they're like, yeah, we don't want to be called play to earn. We want to be play and earn, or play and own, or, you know, compete to earn, or all these different concepts. It was like everyone's trying to move away from play to earn. And so each guest here today has a little bit different perspective from what I've seen from them. So I'd love to hear from them, and then from Stash and Nico as well, as you guys study the whole industry. So John at 16-bit, I would just love to hear from you guys first, because Splinterlands, as you said, has been around from the OG. I mean, you guys are ancient as far as NFT gaming, right? It's like, even though it's only about 4.5 years for you guys, that's still one of the first. So I want to hear from you. Have your guys' perspective changed at Splinterlands? Do you guys still like that term play to earn, that narrative? Do you guys think it's helpful, or have you guys started to shift away from it as well?
Yeah, you know, I mean, first of all, we were probably the only option for CryptoStash back in the early days. But you're right. I mean, we've been around for 4.5 years. I mean, when we launched, the term play to earn didn't exist yet. We come from a much more kind of pure intentioned place, right? So our co-founders are self-described gaming nerds. They, you know, knew how to make a game. They knew how to develop a game. They had their favorites, and they thought, and they were also blockchain enthusiasts, right? Crypto enthusiasts. And so, they were like, well, you know, this blockchain technology does something really, really cool, that we haven't seen any games really do. It allows you to own the things that you're sinking your money into. And so they really just wanted to make a really fun game that they would like to play, and have a feature of that game be that, you know, you have the decentralized ownership of the assets within the game. And so play to earn, you know, as that craze sort of boomed, I think the temptation was there to create what essentially amounted to a bunch of yield farming applications. Not all games are, but a lot of the popularized ones are. And that's great when the market is surging and you have, you know, explosive growth and new user base attracted to the big earnings. But unfortunately, it's also not sustainable. And as we know, you know, crypto markets and, you know, tend to be pretty volatile. So once we hit a bear market, it really crashes a lot of those types of economies. We prefer to stay away from play to earn as a term to describe Splinterlands or any of our games. I don't know what the best term should be, you know, some form of just blockchain gaming or something like that. Play and earn is certainly better. But I think the main point is that, you know, the earning component should be a feature of the game, not the point of the game. And so if you build a fun game, you focus on producing value, producing a product, producing entertainment. They have this intrinsic value that people are attracted to. They're there, or at least a good chunk of them are there because the game is fun and it's interesting. But unlike a lot of the other Web 2 games that they've played or previous games that they've played and sunk a bunch of money into, when you sink money into this one, you're getting what amounts to, you know, appreciating assets that you retain ownership of. And furthermore, to take it a step beyond that, you know, we're working hard to make the game truly decentralized. So, you know, with the launch of these SPS validator nodes, you know, we intend at some point here for the game to be able to persist, even if the company behind Splinterlands goes away. You know, so that's kind of where we are and how we think about things. You know, really the only thing that blockchain technology with gaming changes is where the money goes, where the value goes. You know, so in typical games previously, that value goes to the, you know, the gaming studio. Blockchain opens the possibility for that value just to get redistributed amongst those that are putting the value in. So long as the incentive structure is such that, you know, people want to come and play the game and they want to put value into the game in the form of capital, you know, a gaming ecosystem or economy like ours is probably going to do quite well. So I think the earnings will always be there. But you know, the play to earn craze certainly is over for the time being. And maybe, you know, maybe it comes back in the same way. I tend to think that it'll come back in different forms with a little bit better quality of game and quality of economy behind, you know, some of these new games in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, John, for sharing that long-term perspective. I think that's really cool to have that, you know, 4 to 5 years of experience as a team and be able to look out across the industry and see, you know, how things are shaping and changing. Grant, I want to go to you next, because at NFT NYC, at least, I heard you guys talk a lot about, hey, we're not play to earn, we are win to earn. Is that still the case? Is that how you guys are thinking about it? What's the difference for you guys there of trying to avoid play to earn?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very sensitive topic. We don't want people to think, okay, win to earn, only the best players in the world are going to be able to earn in this ecosystem. We want to take the DraftKings and the FanDuel approach, where if you're a professional, you're definitely going to have an edge, but you're not always going to win. That's where we're providing that Mario Kart randomness when you hit the blood box and if you get a bad power-up, I mean, you lose all your ammo, you could die. Or you can kind of fuck with each other with some of the different power-ups and power-downs we have. I don't necessarily think play to earn is dead. I think clicking a mouse to earn an asset is dead, 100%. I think what we've realized is there's a healthier way to do this. And this is something that Web2 gaming studios could do, but they just choose not to, whether it's greed or, you know, they have a board of directors to do, or the legal ramifications. I don't know what it is, but really how we're structuring our reward system is a percentage of the revenue we generate in free-to-play. That's really what we've identified as the best way to do it healthy, organically, where we need to get to 1 million players. If we get to 1 million players and they're all playing for fun in the free-to-play, maybe they can earn some assets in the game that they can sell on a secondary marketplace. And then we have more of our VIPs that have the weapon NFTs that can earn daily as a percentage of the revenue we drive through free-to-play cosmetics, animations, character skins. Our model is unique because we're not doing anything different than a Web2 gaming studio like CSGO, right? CSGO has millions of players. They generate revenue through their loot crates, and they go on their way. And that's why they're not going to get into Web3, because they have such a unique opportunity to monetize in Web2. But we're going to take a similar approach, and I think that's how it has to be. Now, we are going to do we're going to have earning in our game every single day. We want that because I think that there's an opportunity for it. Also consider, if we were going to put a huge marketing push on, let's say I ran Facebook, Twitter ads, YouTube ads, that's technically marketing spend, right? But why not just give that money to our community, let them spread the word and say, hey, there's a huge tournament going on this weekend. Why don't you download the game? It's fun to play. So we have a unique position on that. I think I'm probably the most aggressive in terms of what we want to do. I even at some points wanted to be free to earn, because I think that there's a unique opportunity with our freemium model. Bring people in, have them play a fun game, let them compete, and then buy those free to basically to purchase those cosmetics, but have it free to download. I don't want any barrier to entry. We don't want any chain, holding us back. We really want to be chain agnostic. There's a lot there. To answer your original question, I would say yes, in with a asterisk, win to earn, but you don't have to be the best player in the world, the best Counter-Strike player, the best Fortnite player to come in and earn big in our ecosystem.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. It sounds like what you're saying there to recap is click to earn is dead, maybe not play.
Oh, 100%. I mean, listen, where's the money coming from? Like, I can't sit there and just hand out our governance token as a reward for people to play the game. Eventually they're going to sell. It's going to go to zero. Like, let's be honest. It's proven that it doesn't work. That's why Axie's shied away from earning at all. And I think that's where they got themselves in trouble, because OGX people are saying, wait a minute, this is not how this was marketed. It's all about expectations in Web3. And that's where I think we set the bar, because we don't guarantee earnings to anybody. We come out and say, yeah, we're going to scale the earnings as a percentage of the revenue we drive. That incentivizes weapon NFT holders to get their friends to play for free, get them in the ecosystem, try out the game, and maybe they'll buy a loot coffin. So that's really where we want to thrive.
Got it. Yeah, thank you for the explanation. That's really helpful. Last, I just want to move to our other game here, Mythic Protocol. Arif, I know you guys were out there at Singapore, and I believe you were the one, if I remember right, speaking on your guys' model. So do you guys want to tell us a little bit about that and how it might differentiate from play to earn?
I think, first of all, I want to share my like personal opinion about play to earn. I do agree that play to earn might not really sustainable, but mainly because of two reasons. I think the first one is more like fundamental reason. I've been a gamer since my childhood, and I really like love to play game, and even like spend a lot to play game to have fun. And the moment play is paired with the word earning, we always ask the question, like, when it will become work to earn? Like that's, I think it's a very fundamental question that we need to see where is the limit that the play to earn becoming the work to earn. If we are not able to find the limit, then at some point it become work, then the play is not fun anymore, then it might not be sustainable. I think that's the first part, fundamental. The second one, I think totally agree with Grant. Like, the previous implementation of play to earn really relies on new players coming in to buy whatever the existing players actually creating or earning from what the daily activity they did. So I think that's definitely unsustainable. So from Mythic Protocol, we actually try to propose a new thesis. We call it contribute to earn. But before I want to share, like, what is contribute to earn? I want to share, like, why do we need to solve economy in the Web3 games? I think the fundamental analysis that we did and in Mythic Protocol is that we always ask the question, actually, what is the benefit of Web3 to the games? What is the impact of Web3 on the game industry? And when we look back on the history of games, it's actually very interesting that every time there is a new technological development, there is actually a big cycle happening in the game industry. So the first, I think as everyone know, like, the first game that being invented, I think it's developed on an oscilloscope. It's like a I think it's a physics lab tools to actually measure voltage. And then someone just play around with it, making a tennis game, a very, very like one-dimensional tennis game. And that is, I think, that 1954. And since then, the game's already invented, but the video game industry is not there. The first boom of video game industry is actually driven by the personal computing revolution. At the time, I think around 1970, there is a boom of personal computing, and since then, there is actually arcade in the bar and restaurant, everybody at home able to buy console. And that's where the video game industry boom. And at that time, we could call it web one cycle of the game industry. At that time, all the game industry people is actually trying to solve gameplay. So everybody's asking, what is the fun gameplay? Everybody try to experiment. There's a lot of innovation in gameplay. That's why if you remember, like, our moment in 1970 to around 2000, there's a lot of new gameplay coming in. But by the end of 2000, I think a lot of gameplay becoming genre, and yeah, it's aggregating, and it's becoming best practice. And the next cycle, and actually that's created a game industry from 0 to 40 billion industry. And the next cycle is actually driven by mobile and internet. maybe we call it internet, the faster internet, like UGC enabled internet. Maybe we call it Web 2 games. And at that time, there is no question about gameplay anymore, but the question is actually how to reach more people to scale the game industry. So the problem is about mass adoption problem. And at that time, I think the main solution is actually free-to-play. And now free-to-play is already like 70% of the game industry. But by having that innovation in free-to-play, live ops, the game industry actually scale from 40 billion industry to 200 billion industry. And then the next question is actually how to scale the economy of game industry even further. And yeah, we believe that the innovation coming from the distributed technology, blockchain, and also combined with AI, there's actually a chance for us to actually scale the economic impact of game industry. If we analyze currently what's happening in the Web 1 and Web 2 game industry, the game industry economy really revolves around the producers and the consumer. It's a direct economy. The analogy that I used to share in this example is actually tobacco or cigarette industry. Cigarette industry size is actually 5 times than game industry. But in terms of users, it's actually half the game industry. The problem is that, it's not that people actually consume cigarette more. It's actually basically the same product people consume and they produce dopamine. But actually the impact of economic in cigarette is not the producer and consumer direct. There's a lot of players, even economy actors, and even like distributor, even like the whole music industry relies on the whole tobacco industry or cigarette industry. I think that is the biggest problem or maybe like opportunity that everybody need, that maybe like the next game industry cycle need to solve. So that's why we need to solve the economy part. And that's why we actually came with Contribute to Earn. I think the Contribute to Earn approach is actually very simple. We just come back to basic that to build a society, we just need to create a cyclic economy in which its actor actually contributing value back to the ecosystem. And in Contribute to Earn, I think I don't want to dig around too deep on this part, but we simplify everything just by having every like a lot of hat for a lot of economy. Like we have like player economy, we have creator economy, and we have investor economy. So technically, like one person could become a player and also investor, or player and also creator. And its economy motivation and its economy earning or contribution is actually different. I think I'll just stop today. Sorry, I'm talking too long.
No worries. Thank you for sharing. That's really interesting. I love your perspective looking not just recently over the last 5 years of what happened in Web3, but also looking back all the way to the history of gaming throughout the ages and seeing, hey, what were the problems that people were trying to solve and what are we trying to solve now? I think that's a really interesting way to think about that. So thank you for sharing that perspective. Stash and Nico, I want to go to you guys next because you guys are the ones not necessarily building a game, but looking at this entire industry as a whole. So I want to hear from you guys, you know, as you listen to these games, as you study other games, do you guys think that there is a correct narrative or a correct model? Is it all just semantics? It doesn't really matter too much here. Stash, I'll go for you. What are your thoughts on this? Is play to earn dead? And what could we do about it moving forward?
I think the concept of being able to, you know, play a game and earn is never going to actually be dead. And it was around a lot longer than what we have been doing here in NFTs and crypto. It's just the way that you kind of lay things. Right. I mean, playing and earning is been around for a long time. Now, if you want to say play and earn equals being able to extract monetary, you know, like USD value out of a game, cash it out and then go spend that shit on Doritos and, you know, Mountain Dew Code Red. I mean, then that's great. That's one thing. That's one way to kind of define it. Right. But I think that, you know, this is something that gamers have been used to in one way or the other. And it's changed over the years. Right. We've gone from, you know, before you had to just straight buy a video game. Then there were subscriptions. And then there was free to play with microtransactions, which is what we're kind of seeing right now. And I think that we're still in this kind of weird gray area of kind of figuring out, you know, how crypto works in that conjunction and how NFTs can kind of help improve that system. But I think that, you know, the terms are always something that we have to fight with. Right? The term NFT kind of sucks as a term as well. You know, non-fungible token, like, not really, doesn't really roll off the tongue, right? It's unfortunate that sometimes we get stuck in you know what we've labeled something and really just kind of look at, you know, how it works within an ecosystem and what players really want, you know, because I think a lot of times, you know, what a lot of players really want is they don't want a job. Like people were saying, they don't want to have to like, all right, this is my job. I come here. Here's how I make a bunch of money. I mean, that's already been going on. We've seen that happen time and time again. I got a video that's coming out tomorrow that actually talks about, you know, black markets in, you know, Web 2 games and traditional games that have been here forever since there was online games, you know, any kind of multiplayer game. There's been a black market for it where you can go and purchase things from somebody illegally against the terms and then use it in game. And so I think that, you know, a lot of the technology we're pushing right now can help with a lot of these problems that we've seen. Asset ownership, you know, counterfeit items, and a couple of the issues in the industry. But you know, the whole idea of like just being able to go into a game, extract value, and then it's done. Like Grant said, I mean, it's a race to the bottom. We've seen that now already proven multiple times with large scale games like Axie and even smaller games too that have failed even quicker with horrible tokenomics. And tokenomics are something that are also not new to games either. They've been around forever. It's just, you know, that additional step of like, okay, well, you know, is this thing they can then convert to a USD value in some sort of way? Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. It's the way that it's being converted to USD value, I think, is what we really need to examine, right? So if that has to do with, you know, essentially trading skins, that might actually be okay because those things are desirable for other users on the platform. And so therefore, you're kind of providing a sync and value back to the user base versus just straight extracting USD or, you know, value out of something and taking a token, dumping it on the market for whatever the price is and continue to do it until the game is done. So I think it just comes down to the way we kind of label things. And, you know, as you guys have seen, people are wanting to move away from play to earn into something else. And I don't even know that it has to be called any of those things. You know, why can't it just be gaming? Why can't it just be game, a good game with a good economy, you know, where you can own your assets as NFTs. And, you know, maybe the devs can make a little bit of extra cheddar on those royalties on the secondary markets that they mostly don't have right now.
Yeah, no, great points. I mean, I think that's really interesting. And I'm curious, do you think there is a time frame, a point where it won't be the separation of Web 2 and Web 3 gaming? It will just be gaming, kind of as you said. Do you see that in the future, Stash?
It's already happening right now. I mean, are you kidding me? Right underneath our nose. We're starting to see more and more mainstream, you know, rails adopt and be okay with NFT-enabled games or play and earn style games, games where there's, you know, tokens that you can cash out to a you know, a USD currency or another currency. And so, yeah, I think it's already those games are already in development right now that are going to be kind of the first major titles to push into a traditional gaming market. Who knows what's going to be the next hit. Like really, that's out there. There's quite a few. Like I said, I can just start rifling them off. I won't do that right now, but yeah, I think we're getting there. I think within the next 2 years, I think we'll see a large swath of mainstream games incorporating NFTs in some sort of way. Now, will they be like a play to earn where you can cash out and like I made a bunch of money? Look at all this USD. Probably not directly, but possibly through you know earning skins in a game through play, right, through gameplay, and then selling them on our marketplace to somebody else that wants to use them.
That's really the key there, Stash. And I mean, I'll give you guys the dirty secret about Web3 gaming is you want to get off, you have a studio, you have developers, you want to get off the ground, you have to have a token. You have to have a seed round and you physically need money to pay developers USD to develop a game. So now you're left with this conundrum of, okay, well, to get the funding to even raise the game because you have the idea in the first place, you have to launch a token. But now you have NFT holders that paid US dollar for an NFT and they feel entitled to a claim of the pie as well. And so that's where you have a lot of mouths to feed. If you're developing a Web3 game, it would be much simpler to just raise money from a VC and develop a Web2 game. But this is where you can find opportunity in Web3. Some of these Web3 VCs, thankfully, we've chosen fantastic partners here at Wagyu and Undead Blocks. But that is where you have a conundrum as well. I mean, I'll give you guys an example. There's an awesome game coming out called Shrapnel. I love that team, but you know, they sold 27% of their token, which hasn't even released on a market, and they raised $15 million. So for the next, and they have a 12-month lock. Like there's going to be a lot of sell pressure on that, and people are going to buy a token, and then it's going to go up, it's going to go down, and then they're going to get upset. Like Stash is exactly right. Games with tokens have been around forever. Everyone knows buying gems, buying stuff in Candy Crush. That's really tokenized economics. You just don't have any exit liquidity. And that's where I think we see some issues here because people have been spending money on games, spending money in games, but they look at Web3 gaming and everyone wants to go 100x on a token, or they see the Bored Ape Yacht Club go nuclear and they want that to happen to them. it's just not going to have financial advice. Do your own research. But I think that we need to stop muddying the water of how people are incentivized to earn. I don't even want people thinking, you know, the price of undead token goes nuclear, right? Like that's great for developers. Sure, we have a pool, but what I'm more excited about is being able to drive and generate revenue through free-to-play and earn cosmetics. Running a Web2 business in Web3, there's a lot we can do with that if we have revenue coming in the door because our game's a blast and we have a million daily active players. So it will come with time, and I think we need to do a better job as an industry of telling people how they're incentivized to really structure some of these games and make them as fun as we can have them.
Yeah, thank you, Grant. Good points there. Nico, I want to have you respond to that since you haven't had a chance to speak yet. What do you think about that? Should we just move away from any type of whatever it's win to earn, contribute to earn, play to earn? Does the earning matter right now? Is that the main point of Web3, or should we just ditch that in general?
Oh, I've been eager to speak. So I am extremely bullish on play to earn. And I have immense faith that's going to work. But the way in which it works might not be live yet. I will present three different options that I've seen that I think can be built upon and improved upon. In short, you have mining. You have, for example, Nine Chronicles. The original, they built their own chain, and it's a downloadable game that you download to your computer. So it's an app. And the original intent was that while you're playing the game is actively mining with your computer power. So pretty much you're assisting the network while you're playing the game, and therefore you are earning just like a miner earns Bitcoin. I think this is genius. As long as there is proof of work chains, this can be something, right? It just works, just like staking. The other thing is web upload share. I don't know if you heard about Theta streaming. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but pretty much as users watch streams, part of their computing power is harnessed to relay those videos and streams to other users who are watching. And the primary sharer gets tokens as rewards. So I don't know if you've caught on, but right now in Korea, they're not getting 1080p on Twitch anymore, because they have bandwidth issues in Korea as a whole. So the maximum quality they get right now on Twitch, and I believe also on YouTube in Korea as a whole, South Korea, is 720p. If you had this sort of relay system, just like Theta, you might be able to lessen the bandwidth pressure, and in that way incentivize the people that are actually sharing their bandwidth to have earnings. So in these two cases, with the mining and the upload share, you're actively assisting the game company, for example, or the streaming platform to operate, and therefore you should be paid. So you're using your computational power or your internet. I think that works. The last point is revenue sharing model. This is the most realistic future that we're going to see, where if you are participating in a game, then depending on how much you play, you are eligible for a revenue share split of the profits that the game gets from paying users. So imagine League of Legends today. You can play the game completely for free, but Riot Games also needs player to play. And there's still millions of people who are actively spending money. Now, if Riot took 5 or 10% of their earnings or the profits, and they shared those to the active player base, for example, in Essence right now, which is what they have in League of Legends, then you would have an active revenue share based on profit in the game. And so you're getting something back because you're contributing by being a player to the game. So those are my quick thoughts, like three of the more interesting solutions I've seen where you could actually end up getting sustainable earning for your user base. Outside of that, I'd like to pitch in that it generally makes sense that if somebody's winning, then somebody's also losing. And so as soon as you have your users committing money to the game in order to play, then it's also more realistic that you have this sort of almost gambling system where you're winning money of other players, committed cash in a way. But yeah, compete to earn and then win to earn, and esports style games, in addition to these three different options of mining, upload or computational power share, and revenue sharing, is what I see as the future of play to earn. And I don't believe that game is here yet with the perfect solution. We might not ever have a perfect solution, but I'm very bullish that we're going to find good solutions and workable solutions.
So just to jump in real quick, Nico, I would completely disagree with you for all three of the solutions you provide. The only real one, I think, is the esports solution you talked about at the end. The first two are really just kind of gamified finance. Or gamified SaaS services, really, they're not actually really a game. I mean, like, if you're gonna mine, just mine. Like, why do you gotta also play the game and mine at the same time? That's like double work. I wouldn't really necessarily call that, you know, a true game if that's what it's about. I've been streaming on Theta for the last 2.5-3 years, and it's a great platform. I also wouldn't really call it gamified in any kind of way. I mean, it's a cool service. But I don't really feel like that has anything to do with like gaming or you know, a play to earn type of solution. And then when you talk about like a revenue share split, what you're really doing is just kind of subsidizing the fact that like I had to pay what $500 for my NFT character that gets me access, and then you'll give me some residuals on the back end as profit comes in later. I mean, it's almost kind of pyramid-y scheme as well. So like I don't really see any of those being good long term solutions. Now the esports side of things, definitely I can see that. You know, you're entering into competition. You're putting up a, you know, $10 entry fee, and then whoever is the winner takes that prize pool. I think that works really good. Or like what Undead Blocks is doing is where you get a sponsor tournament and the money is coming in from the outside. I think that's also a really great model too. But I don't think the first three things you talked about are actually, you know, solutions for actual games.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those thoughts, Stash. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting debate there. I want to hear
from, but I've seen a lot of different models here over the last 5+ years.
Hey, Sash, that's why we have you here, man. I like your thoughts. You have a long history studying these things, so I always appreciate your thoughts there. John and Arif, I want to give you guys just another chance. As you've heard this conversation, any extra additional thoughts that you guys have had as you've listened to others?
You know, one of the things that we're working on right now, you know, this kind of guild model, to oversimplify the play to earn gaming guild, right? Which I think play to earn gaming guilds are sort of transforming on whole right now anyway. But to oversimplify it, basically it's just the centralization of resources to enable a decentralized group of gamers to access the assets they need to be able to successfully play a game, a Web3 game. So one way that we are, you know, trying to work on, you know, simulating that model without actually needing to formally organize as a guild is through, you know, some platform partners that basically do the work, to automate, you know, some of these things, right? Cause there's two different problems that, you know, a game or a studio like us, Splinterlands needs to solve. One is, you know, how do we get, you know, capital and value into the ecosystem? And two, how do we, you know, attract more players to play with those assets, those resulting assets? And so, you know, there's some really cool solutions that are under development. Some are launched, some aren't, some are sort of beta-ish at the moment. There's three in particular that I know we're working with. One is Nifty Arcade and their gateway platform. Another one is Unbound Nation. They're kind of working behind the scenes at the moment and really cool in that vein. And then also Capital DAO, doing the same. So basically, if you're, you know, a web two, more of a, well, I don't want to call them web two, but if you're somebody that's more investment focused, you know, and you believe in the GameFi space, you see that over a third of the world's population is playing video games, and you see the investment and the growth in the GameFi side of the industry, and you think there's a future there, and you want to put some money down on that. You know, some of these types of platforms allow you to park that capital and remain a rather passive investor while also solving the problem of giving access to a lot of other people to actually play those games, right? Without having to, you know, front a lot of that money to build up a great account or whatever it is. You know, so I think there's a future there. You know, I think that gets really interesting, you know, from a rev sharing standpoint as well, you know, so there's the motivation, you know, sort of closes the loop on incentives, because the investor that's parking capital into a game ecosystem is rev sharing with the gamer who's playing with those assets. And it's hard to see a loser in that situation, because it gives the gamer an opportunity not only to play the game and enjoy, you know, the value that they get from the time spent being entertained, but they can also slowly accumulate the capital they need to build up their own account. Meanwhile, the investor who put the capital in is sort of amplifying the returns, assuming that, you know, also in addition, they're probably doing some other things like watching their, you know, assets that they acquired appreciate over time. Perhaps they're participating in the governance token, liquidity pools, governance, whatever it is. You know, it sort of closes the loop on an incentive system that I think is really interesting. So that's kind of, you know, a new direction that we're taking. I mean, we're still working with gaming guild, you know, like official play to earn gaming guilds, certainly. And we built a guild infrastructure inside of our game that isn't specific to play to earn gaming guilds. It also accommodates just, you know, more traditional guilds, groups of friends, things like that. Sort of a step in the esports direction, but not really fully esports. But yeah, so, you know, I think all of those things are interesting. You know, gamers are going to want to socialize around games, right? I think that's pretty evident. I think that's really evident among, you know, a variety of Web 2 games, console games, and so on. You know, I think Web 3 games are sort of just beginning to catch up on that. And I think, you know, solving those two problems independently, the capital problem and the enablement of players to play with those assets problem, solving those two problems at the same time, I think this is a cool way to do it. So yeah, you know, just something additional that, you know, I hadn't heard specifically quite yet, but that's a direction that we're a fan of for sure.
Yeah, great. Thank you for sharing. I would want to respond, but we're running out of time a little bit here, and I want to get Arif a chance. Any last thoughts, anything you want to add there to the conversation?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Look, really interesting discussion of Nico and Stats. So I really want to share my thoughts also on that part. I totally agree with Stats' point that the first two examples is actually the play is not the core element, so it might not really be able to say it as play to earn. But the third example, the revenue share, is actually very interesting. I'm just thinking out loud here. So if we use the NeQuest example about Riot, so if Riot, for example, like take their revenue 10%, then distribute to users in hoping that the users will actually promote the games more, I think in the perfect game theory, a big institution will have more efficiency to actually deploy the capital to optimize on acquiring the best possible users. So I don't think that approach might be used by the big company, but the revenue share model might actually use, but the only reason why a game company will use the revenue share model is because the lack of capital. Because the lack of capital, we actually more like asking everybody's sweat capital to by promising revenue share to actually promote the game to the user. Actually, in Native Protocol, in our contribute to earn model, we have the investor economy where we try to create more like a land NFT that probably have similar like a revenue share, maybe like upside share mechanism. We haven't yet really decided because we still are learning about the security law and everything. But the main intent is that to share the upside to everyone, so that everybody will have some incentive to actually promote the game. And we even like imagine that in the Web 2 or Web 1 game industry model, it's very common there's a developer publisher relationship. So with our investor economy, we kind of shift that model to become more like a mini publisher model, where like everybody could become a mini publisher, they could promote the game, and they're able to get upside from the users of that part. But after thinking on the Nicole story, we also thinking that if everything's successful and the capital is becoming more bigger and bigger, at some point it might be more efficient to actually pull all the capital and then just do the marketing by themselves. But it's just thinking out loud. And the esport example, I'm still thinking on. Yeah, I think that that's actually a very good economic model, and it's very scalable model. But the question that we always try to ask on that model is, what is the Web3 element, or where the Web3 element is actually helpful? I'm just adding more question. Just thinking out loud. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we got to start wrapping up here soon, as I know some people have some commitments here at the top hour in 10 minutes. But Nico, if you want to take just like a minute or something real short, I know a lot of the responses to what you said, anything you'd want to respond back with?
Yeah, I just wanted, I know we're also tight in time, so I guess we should have set off like 3-4 hours for this instead of 1 hour. But yeah, so keep in mind that, like I said, the solution is not here today. I don't believe the solution is here today, but I believe the solution can come. And these three mentions that I did, I think is a step in the direction where it is more realistic that the user can earn, because the user is actually contributing to the workings of the game. And I think that makes sense. And I think that just like the way with Brave Browser, and what we're seeing more and more is that the companies are fighting for users, and the users bring value in themselves by spending their time. Where you are spending your time is valuable and is the fight for the company or the game in the end. And eventually it makes sense that you are going to be incentivized to spend your time with a game or with a platform. And then they also need to make that sustainable. And so if you can offload some of the work on their side, I think that makes sense over time. Yes, we're not there yet. Yes, the solution is not existing as of today. I don't think a fully sustainable model exists today, but I believe that we can get there. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify that, I guess.
Well, as we wrap up here today, I just want to give everyone one chance. If you have a last thought, or also if you want to shout out anything of what you or your team is working on. So Stash, I'll start with you. Any last thought and any exciting things upcoming that people should know about of what you're doing?
Last thought, I mean, you know, big respect to everyone who was on stage today talking. You know, sometimes I'm a little aggressive, but much love to all you guys that are here doing the damn thing. Playing some Splinterlands here in about an hour on my channel, CryptoStash, or youtube.com/CryptoStash. And then Thursday, the return of my NFT live stream game. It's a game where you actually play it live during my live stream, and you can use NFTs and burn them to get me to do things that are fun and crazy and weird as a secret agent on my channel every Thursday. Coming back.
Cool. That sounds really exciting. I'll have to check it out. Hopefully I'm open on Thursday to see that. Grant, I'd love to hear next. Any last thought and anything about Undead Blocks you want to shout out?
Yeah, definitely appreciate you guys having me up here. I know Balthazar was one of our early supporters, and we're just going to continue growing. Like I said, we have a beautiful game, a fun game. We haven't launched multiplayer. We haven't launched wave-based survival, the blood boxes, which provide the Mario Kart aspect. And we've had over 11,000 participants just in the month of September alone. You know, these aren't bots. This is just actual human beings with butts in the seats. We have a massive community. Really excited to keep growing, expanding. We are running a huge tournament Halloween weekend. We're going to be finalizing those details, getting those out to you this week. If you do have any questions, I'm always available. Grant_Wagyu. Follow Undead Blocks on Twitter. Hop in our Discord. It's always popping. We have a Telegram channel as well. Check out our website. Download the beta. It's free to play. That's all I ask from you guys is give it a try. It's PC and Mac. Let us know what we can do better. We'll improve the stuff that needs to be fixed. And if you guys like specific features, we're going to double down on them. So appreciate you guys having me up here, and a great conversation. Thanks for hanging.
Yeah, thank you, Grant, for being here. I always appreciate how active you guys are in the community. And yeah, much love to you guys and Undead Blocks. Arif, I would love to hear from you next. Anything, last thought or something you want to shout out about Mythic Protocol?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me look here. Yeah, thank you very much for the support for Mythic Protocol. So I think one point that I want to share here that Nico actually shared a keyword there. It's that everybody's actually contribute to actually create a in Mythic Protocol, we actually just share our first maybe like article about our economy testers. We call it Contribute to Earn. But please check it out. And we really love to hear your feedback because I believe that the quest to develop the sustainable economy, we need to do it together and then kind of like put our brain together and then like debate each other. And then, to really able to find the best economy. So we'd love to hear your feedback on that front. And then on Mythic Protocol side, we actually just launched our pre-alpha build. So if everybody don't mind, please check it out. And we'd really love to get your feedback on the games. And hopefully we'll be able to build a gameplay that could make you have fun for hours. I think that's, thank you very much again for having me. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Arif, for being here. I definitely have had lots of fun with Mythic Protocol. Excited for what you guys got ahead. Last but not least, 16-bit John, if you want to share. I know there's a little potential whitelist giveaway as well that you got planned.
Yes, sir. So first of all, I mean, really appreciate you guys having us on. I know Balthazar has been a big supporter of Splinterlands in a variety of ways, and we love working with you guys. On the lookout, I mean, we're in the middle of a bit of a content explosion. We've gone through a handful of pre-sales in recent weeks and also regular sales in recent weeks. On October 18th, we'll do the pack pre-sale for the new Genesis League sports soccer game with Major League Soccer Players Association. So that's upcoming. Don't hesitate to reach out to me if you got questions about that. But the whitelist. So Rooney is our first generative ETH NFT that will mint on OpenSea on October 25th. I do have some whitelist spots to give away. They will cost roughly $500 of ETH each. But what's really cool is these are, you know, pretty typical you know, PFP style NFTs. They're all one of one. There will only be 6,500 of them. We sold out the first 2,000 whitelist spots to our community in 39 seconds. So there will be very high demand, I'm sure. But what's really cool is it becomes a card in Splinterlands game. We got a bridge built from Ethereum over to Hive where you can go lock the card up, play it in the game. Giving away 10 whitelist spots. I have a Google form. I believe you're going to share that out here with the recording in a tweet. Is that right?
Yeah. So okay. On this Twitter space, you should be able to see a little bubble that shows other people tweeting on here. And we're going to post that link to this same Twitter space tweet thread. So if you're on there, you should see a tweet from Balthazar here in a moment.
Perfect. Perfect. So all I need there is your ETH wallet address. A little bit of, you know, basic contact info so I can find you if we got a question or need to let you know that you won. So, you'll have 7 days to mint from mint start on October 25th. So feel free to hit the form, plug your ETH wallet address in there and see if you get a hit on a Rooney whitelist spot. So, looking forward to that. And then, of course, if anybody needs help getting access into Splinterlands, I'm always happy to help there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys all so much for being here. Just as Nico said, like, I literally wish we had discussion with all you guys for 3 to 4 hours. So, you know, if we ever get the chance, I'm sure that might be too long of a discussion to get us all there for that. But seriously, thank you guys so much for all your thoughts. Important conversation of how does this Web3 space develop as we get with gaming? Do we move away from play to earn? Do we move to a different narrative? How do we shape this? These are important conversations, I think, for the health of NFT gaming now, but also how does this space look as we grow and mature in 2, 3, 5 years? And all of us, whether you're building a game or a stash, you're making content, or here at Balthazar trying to help other games really grow, you know, all these things are really important for maturing the space. So just thank you guys for the time. We hope that you guys can be on here again. We're going to do these Twitter spaces each and every week. Next week, we're going to be focusing on bringing on guests to talk about onboarding Web2 gamers into Web3 and figuring out how do we best do that as an industry. So thank you guys all here for today. And if you are a listener as well, appreciate you guys being here. You guys are awesome. And take care, everyone.